Alice Springs Town Council on Tuesday, 23rd of May, open for the transaction of business as set out on the agenda. I welcome councillors and officers present. I acknowledge your Central Arrernte people who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs. Are there any apologies, Mr. CEO?
Councillor Hopper.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Can I have someone move to accept that? Moved, Councillor Brown, seconded. Councillor Batar, all those in favour? Any against? Carried. I'll note that the Acting Director of Corporate Services, Director Brennan's also on leave, and we've got Councillor Coffey joining us via Zoom. Thank you, Councillor Coffey. Are there any petitions, Mr. CEO?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Do any councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 115 of the Local Government Act? No. Confidential minutes of the previous meeting. I present the minutes of the 26th of April. For confirmation, may I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings at the meetings to which they relate. Moved, Councillor Little, seconded, Councillor Morris. Any business arising from those minutes? Deputy Mayor.
Just a question in relation to, I'm sorry, I haven't got, it's opening, but it's towards the end of the minutes in questions without notice. I think I asked about the cemetery, access to the Shembury family. I haven't heard anything back from anyone. I just wondered, not that I was expecting a response from tech services, but I haven't heard anything back from the other people. So I'm hopeful that it, something has happened. I wonder if anyone can tell me, please.
Mr. CEO?
Mr. Mayor, my understanding is that's been resolved. And he's comfortable, my understanding.
Director Battle?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that has been resolved. A FOB has been provided to Mr. Shembury.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. So in the last month or so, two weeks or three weeks?
My understanding it was sort of the day after the day off or day after that council meeting.
Just wondering if we're monitoring the risks, if there has been any potential breaches or something that has or hasn't happened. I'm not trying to be smart. I just wondered, been a month and somebody could have taken advantage of it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
I'll take that on notice, but we'll make sure that's happening.
Thank you. Any other business arising? No, move Councillor Little, seconded Councillor Morris. All those in favour to accept the minutes? Any against? Carried. In accordance with Section 101 of the Local Government Act 2019, I present the minutes of the special confidential meeting held on Tuesday, the 2nd of May, for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings at the meetings to which they relate? Moved, Councillor Coffey, seconded, Councillor Batar. Any business arising from those? No. Just point of clarity, Director Andrew. We've been in, obviously been in touch with the successful tenderer and things are moving there.
Yeah, that's fine, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Move, Councillor. Any other business? No. Move, Councillor Coffey. Seconded, Councillor Matar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. In accordance with Section 101 of the Local Government Act 2019, I present the minutes of the special confidential meeting held on Thursday, 18th of May, for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings at the meeting to which they relate? Moved, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Councillor Batar. Any business arising? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Really keen on following up this issue. In the last discussion, we made some notes, points to speaking points, but from this point onwards, it's no longer just speaking points. I'd like to move on at some point at the appropriate time to pick up on the issues, have a debrief on this matter, and come away with a long-term sustainable solution so we just don't get caught into this trap. So, for example, I'm yet to receive the copy of the contract between AFLNT and Council. I would like to see that and I would like to read that. I think it's important. I'd like to understand better what we're looking like in the future towards 2025, if we in fact want to tear that contract up. I'd like to understand better the commitments of AFLMT and what are the triggers for us to put a stop to community football in case of a situation. What are those triggers? They were discussed at last council meeting. We had a bit of a chat about it, but I think I want to be more formal. And in this environment, the only way forward is to be formal and to have resolutions and to agree following a good debate and or disagree. So there's a lot more to this. It can't just stop here. And now that the media has found something else to go on about, we can't just forget about it. And that's part of the mistakes of the past of councils. I don't want to be committing the same mistake. We need to be on top of it now. And we need to come up with a solution that if in the future something happens, we're already one step ahead or two steps ahead or even three steps ahead. So at the appropriate time, Mr. Mayor, I wonder if we could perhaps ask for a debriefing report and for us to discuss it and maybe with some recommendations. That's where I sit on this.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think the appropriate time would be in a general business item rather than through minutes. And we'll go to orders of the day shortly. Anything you'd like to add then, Mr. Sion?
No, probably the discussion of general business rather than...
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. So I'll provide you the opportunity at orders of the day after the Mayor's report. Thank you. Any other matters arising? No, moved. Councillor Brown, seconded. Councillor Bittar. All those in favour? Carried. Present the confidential Mayor's report. This is just confidential correspondence, and there's a few mayoral minutes in there. So I'm going to ask for three things to be endorsed. Obviously, the first mayoral minute, Freedom of Entry Parade on page 31, and then the mayoral minute that was shared late last night. I'll start with the first one, just capturing my trip to Canberra. I just thought it was important to bring back business to council. Obviously, there's a list of ministers that I met with, and I couldn't meet with the ministers. I met with Chief of Staff, which was obviously pretty well received. And I think that it's, you know, I think it's still important that we're on the eyes of the federal ministers. One thing that's sort of out of council's hands, but I think it's a really important point, is the Minister for Education has funded $40 million into Central Australia schools. And so what that does is that brings Alice Springs forward 26 years relating to the Gonski stuff. So we weren't expected to get the appropriate funding until the year 2050 for Central Australian schools, and that's been fast-tracked. So they'll receive schools will receive that funding early next financial year. Obviously, there are some other ministers that we have met with as well, Minister Burney, Minister King, and Minister Wells were three big ones. So capturing the mayoral minute, there's three pieces. There's three recommendations there, all part of commitments, but also things that go a bit further. So the first one is that the Alice Springs Town Council write to the federal government and request that $4 million election commitment be invested to the Alice Springs Regional Skate Park. That the Alice Springs Town Council write to the Northern Territory government and request dollar for dollar contribution of $1.8 million for the regional skate park. Separate to that is that the Alice Springs Town Council write to the federal government and request $2.5 million allocated for recreational infrastructure as part of the $50 million commitment for community infrastructure, and that we write to the federal government and request $2 million for youth and community services. So I think one, A and B is pretty self-explanatory. Two, I think is pretty self-explanatory as well, that we know we need more recreational facilities in Alice Springs, and there is a community infrastructure bucket there. Noting that we'll endorse the budget after this, but noting that there is a pool there. And recommendation three is the $2 million. Alice Springs Town Council have successfully run the Summer SAM program. And many times we've congratulated the community development team on that. That was Minister Burney and Minister Dreyfus's office showed a real desire to partner in that for that youth programs sort of piece. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Is there any questions before I move? No. I'll move those three recommendations. Is there a seconder? They all went up. I'll go with Councillor Brown. Any discussion? Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, should be noted that these recommendations come from hard work by all councils, represented by you and led at that front by you. I think what you brought back is certainly worth serious consideration, and I would be very much in support. The questions I probably have to make sure that we're right is that there's a lot in here, 1, 2, and 3, and there's a lot of money being moved around. I just am not quite clear on how this translates into a moment where we're moving the municipal plan. These amounts of funds, where do they actually sit and where would they sit? Sorry to complicate it for you. But I wonder if there's more direction within this motion or within this recommendation that these funds may sit in a separate grant, a separate account, or do they go into reserves, or do they get mixed up? How do they get identified until the money is spent, when it's received? So from I don't want to talk about operational level. I just want to talk practical, that if it's then recorded thereafter, the municipal plan is actually approved and it's going out to public consultation, this may not be a part of it. And I think it's important for transparency and the public that if they identify, if they learn about this great idea, the great recommendation, yeah, I just needed to line up with the financial side of things. Maybe I haven't articulated as well as I'd like to, but others can have a better go at it. I'm sure they're capable.
So in the draft budget, we've allocated $1.8 million for the regional skate park. So with grant funding, they'll sit in a separate line until they're acquitted anyway. So they'll sit where they sit and then they're acquitted. As I said, it's just an ask at this stage. So I don't think don't want to delve into the detail too much, but I think if we get to that point, I think it's a good result, Deputy Mayor, if we have to talk about where the money goes, if we get it given to us by the feds. But, Councillor Brown?
I was taking it that these funds were coming out of that $14 million that would have been allocated. Is that correct, or am I misunderstanding?
Well, I think it's a bit more complicated than that. So the $4 million, the first recommendation will be out of the $20 million for the youth commitment. The 2.5 will be allocated we'll be asking out of the $250 million, and then the $2 million will be out of the $14
million. So in follow-up to that, if this money's already been allocated to us, as said, why are we writing letters to Canberra to ask that? I'm just trying to understand that process. If this is money that's been promised to us, shouldn't it be just to a department head or whatever, whoever's in charge of actually dividing up the funds? Or is that all have to go back to the minister?
Yeah, the minister is having oversight of it. And the reason I think we need to close it out is because I'm not sure that they are across all of the commitments either. And I think with all the money that's getting thrown around, I think they've even confused themselves. With all due respect, I think that's there's been, over nearly $500 million committed for Central Australia, and I think they've lost track as well. So I think this just captures the ask initially.
Just to follow up, do we make that clear to them that these are promised funds all the time? Have we set out at any stage the funds that have been sent to us and delivered it to the various ministers so they understand what they have promised us and that they should be there, and we're actually asking for allocations out of those funds?
Yeah, so the Minister Catherine King's office is across the
capital, the infrastructure commitments, and that's the $4 million that's sort of not, that's the only $4 million floating in the air. And then the 48.8's been committed, and then the 250 sort of sits with the controller and that office around that. The 14 million, some of it has been spent, some of it hasn't been spent. It is a bit confusing, and they're confused as well. So I think that out of that 14 million, there's $2 million, I think, for the Alice Springstown Council, and I think this motion closes it out.
Just as a further follow-up. So as a result of the actual election promises, we were promised a $250 million plus of $14 million. And then after this, for all in January, we've been promised another round of funds. The two things being conflated, are we really getting two separate allocations of funding, or are we really, is that $40 million going back to the actual election promise?
Yeah.
And then the later funds, are they acknowledged as later funds, or are they actually just referenced to the original fund?
So they're on top of, so there was $120 million in the election commitment, and that was $80 million for the art gallery, $20 million for youth services, and $20 million for the CBD.
Yeah.
Out of that $20 million for youth infrastructure, $20 million, 16 of that was promised to the Gap Youth Centre. So there's four that's been left over out of that 20. That is captured in 1A. Yeah. The $14 million that was being committed was for safety. Yeah. So that was CCTV, lighting, youth services, those sort of things. And that's the $2 million asked on stage three. I will note that, and then on top of that, sorry, there was a $48.8 million that the Prime Minister announced when he was here in January. Some of that went to police, some of that went to extension of youth service programs, and there was a commitment for $2 million for CCTV for the Alice Springstown Council. That's been changed to $2.8 million, and there's an EOI that's out at the moment. And then on top of that, there was a $250 million. So that was $50 million for community infrastructure over 4 years, $40 million for schools that I just touched on in Minister Clare, $23 million for child and youth assessment, $10 million for justice reinvestment on top of the committed justice reinvestment money, $10 million for mobile services upgrades, which was in my previous minutes from Minister Rowland, and 9.2 to address community safety and early intervention and crime prevention projects for First Nations people. So that is largely sits with the controller, and the controller is coming to see us as a council next week. So there are probably questions that I've been better led to ask her than me.
Did you follow up on that? Before that occurs, could we actually all have a list of all those funds and the so-called allocations to this, that, so we've got a bit of an idea of what we're holding them to account for?
Yep.
That would be good. Thanks.
Can you write me in? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Just following on the same issue. Again, I say I'm in support of this, but I just want to make sure that if this goes through, we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's. So initially there was an ask, and then there was a commitment, and now there's a collection, we're at a collection point. And what we're presenting here is, what I'd like to see from a formal sense is that in this recommendation, it links back to resolutions already passed that show council supports all of these things. And secondly, from my perspective, when it comes to financial impact, that should these monies, as promised, come in, they will sit in reserves.
We can't do that because we don't do that with any other grant.
My concern, Mr. Mayor, is that in the past we have had we have to be clear on the acquittal timelines and what's requirement in terms of the acquittal terms. So I just feel that we just need to understand the money story. It's not a deal breaker for me. I'm just saying it out loud. But if others don't agree with me, then we'll move on. I'll be in your hands, Mr. Chair.
Well, it would remain in the untied funds in our balance sheet. That's where it would sit. And that's where they sit at our grants sit at the moment. And if it's for a specific grant, it would be for grant funding received for a specific project. So that would sit there. So we don't need to put that in the motion. That's just an operational point of view that your accounting rates will sit there. Deputy Mayor.
So if that's the case, Mr. Mayor, my question back to you in this sort of to and from question, and I'm just putting questions to you as the person recommending, making the recommendation, do you think it's important to link back to resolutions already passed, or do we need to ensure there's a, within this context, a clear message that we are, you know, supporting these ideas? There's not just wishful thinking, and we hope, because all we're doing here is we're writing a letter to request election commitments for all of those things.
So the only one that would link back to a further resolution would be the first one, and that's spoken in the minutes, but yep. We can capture that.
Yeah.
Two and three are just part of the strategic plan, effectively.
Well, sure. The strategic plan is a fairly broad document. Do we, in the strategic plan... Not sure if I'm getting my point across. I'm just going to pause for a minute and let me think about it.
Is there any other discussion? Deputy Mayor, the floor is yours.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to support this, and I think I've made my risks clear. If there is no feeling that the risk is, you know, the concerns need to be mitigated, and if the CEO is comfortable with it, you're comfortable with it, other elected members are comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Mr. CEO, you're comfortable with the... Thank you. Any further discussion? I've moved that. It was seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Any against? That's carried. The second part of this that I'm just asking for endorsement for is the freedom of entry. Usually that's on page 31. Freedom of entry is a quite common occurrence across the country. The Australian Army has been here, North Force have been here for 40 years, and they're looking to have a parade on the 18th of August, which is Vietnam Veterans Day. I'm just asking for endorsement. Obviously, there has been some, you know, discussion about Army coming into Alice Springs, and I was a bit anxious. Other times, I would just say yes to this point, but is there any dissent with supporting the Freedom of Entry Parade? I will ask that that is endorsed. Emma, so can we just have that council endorse Freedom of Entry Parade? Councillor Coffey, you had your hand up.
Just to say, happy to endorse it.
Thank you. Let's move, Councillor Coffey. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Very much happy to support it. Just wondering again about the money. Whilst there's no overt ask for monies, there'll be we talked about in-kind or resource support from council. What's involved in that, and how is that going to be budgeted for? Do we need to approve that or a limit, or is there a process here?
I don't think there's an ask as of yet, so can't approve anything that we haven't been asked for. I think at some stage they might ask. It is during the day. What usually happens after Freedom of Entry, to my understanding, is they'll do a march, and then the mayor will put on a mayoral function. So
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry to interrupt. I just understand that it's about a $7,500 cost for a traffic management plan. It's a fair bit of resources involved. So obviously we're not being asked for any of that, but I'm just wondering, have we thought that through? Is there a... At some point, do we expect to approve something that will cost money?
We don't know, Deputy Mayor. Usually okay. Armies don't need traffic management because they control the road, so they can walk as they...
I don't see that happening. I think you'll find that the traffic management plans are applied to everyone.
Okay, but I'm saying, Deputy Mayor, I don't know. I can't speculate on what they're going to ask for or if they're going to ask for funds. So until that point, I just think that we endorse that the parade happen and then go from there. If we're going to be asked for funds at a later point, well, then we can have that discussion at a later point.
Thank you.
Councillor Coffey's moved that. Can I have a seconder to endorse the parade? Councillor Morris, any further discussion? All those in favour? Any against? Carried, thank you. Second mayoral minute that has been presented. This has come late in the piece, and I do apologise that I didn't raise this in budget discussions. It has been raised by a number of stallholders. The mayoral minute is in front of you. It's just to undertake a report on the benefits of waiving night market fees in alfresco dining, understanding the financial implications of town council and if there's any risks associated with waiving fees. So the background's there. At this point, I'm not saying that yes or no to waiving the fees in alfresco dining, but I think it's a discussion to have in future. And I do apologise that I didn't bring it up in earlier. Deputy Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, I think this is a great idea and a great recommendation, and it just shows that obviously you're in touch with some of the real issues in terms of our CBD and what is going on there. I think this is a way forward. I would be very supportive of the report, and if the report was to offer, and I can't speculate what it will say, but personally, I think it's a great step forward, and I would look forward to the next step, whatever that looked like.
Thank you. Any further discussion? No. So I'll move that. Seconded, Deputy Mayor. No further discussion. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Orders of the day. The elected members and officers provide notification of matters to be raised in general business. Deputy Mayor, AFL football, anything else?
No.
No other orders? Thank you. I skipped it because I already had the Deputy Mayor's name down. I knew what was happening. Council approved. So moving on to the CEO's report. Council approved the draft budget as presented for the purpose of public consultation. I'm not sure, do we need the last part? Be held in confidence. Can we just do that at the end? When we...
I think it's timing between now and maybe you're going to talk to it tomorrow. So that's just
sort of sure.
If you get the confidence and something.
So we can delete it? Yeah, we'll just delete it and we can bring it out of confidential and embargo until tomorrow morning. So, and that the draft municipal plan be held in to the last two, yep, from there. Councillor Brown.
I just want to raise a point in relation to the budget after hearing and numerous discussions in recent times, and this is an issue that we've dealt with in the past, but it seems to have, we've gone past this year around. The idea that we accept zero growth for this town and use it in our figures. And we had this discussion in last year's budget, and unfortunately I didn't pick up on the issue this year. But the plain fact is when you put zero growth into our forward plan, it actually has an extremely detrimental effect on the attentions of government to our areas. Now, for instance, the urgency of this, the government so-called promise extra 350 blocks out at Toolgarra, of the new works and forward progress on a new industrial area and other areas. Now, I've heard numerous discussions by various government figures in the last month talking about that zero growth rate for Alice Springs, which is highly inaccurate, I might also add. At the moment, there would be several hundred dwellings under structure in this town. They're being structured. I'm working on one project that's got 75 units in it. So the idea, the concept that we've got zero growth is completely inaccurate, but it sends a wrong message. We all know from past experience that Darwin will allocate the absolute barest minimum funding to Central Australia when it comes to infrastructural growth. If we have zero written into our plans, that justifies, not necessarily at ministerial level, but at bureaucratic level, when people are forming out budget line, it justifies, oh no, they don't need it, there's no growth down there. And it affects every aspect from roads, road maintenance, road upgrades, all of it. But it's dangerous. We actually had this discussion last year and we actually inserted a growth rate. Well, I thought we did, maybe we didn't, but we should have. And it was actually passed by council at the time. So I'm not sure if now it's too late or if it's the moment to recognise it, but it is actually a really important issue.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. Mr. CEO?
Now is the time to change it if that's the case. If zero is not accurate, we need to change it. We either take it out and change it to a figure that is more. I don't know what the figure is. We can calculate it, but you take it out and be silent on it, or we look at calculating it based on the projections that you've just alluded to. So I'd recommend probably at this point in time we actually take it out rather than, well, I don't care. I mean, we either take it out or we come up with a figure, whatever, 1% or 2%, not sure what the figure is. But I guess rather than trying to come up with a figure on the run, I'd recommend that we actually be silent on it. And that would be for this document, for the report, for the municipal plan and the long-term financial plan. So we'd have to take it out of those documents. That's what I'd suggest, unless there's a figure that someone's readily got that would be inserted.
Councillor Brown?
It's just more to the mentality of it. If you're an investor looking at, and particularly we have got some investors looking at investing in this town, if you see zero growth potential for the years in going, then it's very off-putting. And even for people like Sam that have already invested, bought into the place. So I think that there needs to be a figure there and it should show growth. And if you measure it on the number of projects that are already in train town, I think that the growth is at least the 2% or maybe more and should be there.
I'm happy to use whatever thing we think is appropriate. I haven't actually calculated it, but if we think it's 2-3%, 2-3%, that's a reasonable figure. Happy to put it in. Sure.
Thank you.
I do understand what Councillor Brown's talking about exactly.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Thank you. We'll just take that on notice and go on and have a look. Or do you want to figure to that?
Well, I think, Mr. Mayor, given that we're approving a municipal draft, municipal plan, I think we actually need to sort the figure out now so that we can actually make the changes mm-hmm. and then it goes public, actually reflects that figure. Just in case of what the figure is.
It's obviously, I think there's one line in the 4-year financial plan that says residential growth of 0%. If you were to change that, let's say to 3%, is there a material change in the numbers we'd expect, or is it just that
number? Probably too late to change the numbers. And I think the numbers is probably a secondary issue rather than the headline sort of. Numbers is an issue because I don't think anyone would be able to calculate whether we're factored in growth or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just you can factor that in for 2023-24 at the first review of material, and then you can do an adjustment for your long-term financial plan at any time during the year and build that in. That'll give you a little bit more revenue over the 4 years. So
thank you. I'll go to the Deputy Mayor, then I'll go to Councillor Coffey and I'll come back, Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Brown. Great point to raise. And my thinking around that was, in terms of population growth, residential properties, there are 10,000 odd dwellings or in total is about, I think, 8,500 residential properties that we are rateable. And depending on how you want to work out your percentage of growth, but if I worked it on the population of 26,000, approximately, give or take, and if you aimed at a 10,000, increasing the population by 10,000 over 10 years, which is reasonable, 1,000 persons a year, you're looking at 0.38%, 3.8% growth on the population base. So I'm just wondering if Councillor Brown would rather see the percentage, and I'm not an economist, but if I was an investor, I'd like to know that if I put my money in and I am relying on population growth and the income to the economy to grow through that avenue, I'd need to have more than 3% to match what I'm trying to do. So I think I'd rather work it out on the population growth rather than, you know, if you put 300, the reality of having 300 blocks against a percentage against 10,000 rateable homes or rateable properties, the percentage is going to be very, very low. So that's my thinking. I'm not sure if you agree with that, but Mr. CEO, I would have more faith in your thinking than mine when it comes to that sort of stuff. So perhaps you can give that some thought, but I think 3.8% is a reasonable percentage of growth to include in there. And it could be aspirational. It doesn't have to be accurate.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. I'll go to Councillor Coffey and I'll come back, Councillor Brown.
Yes, so I think Councillor Brown raises a good point. I just wonder, you know, we talk about residential growth, which is, are we talking population growth? Because it doesn't look like it's economic growth. So I think we need to get that clear first about what we're talking about. And then I think it would be aspirational, as the Deputy Mayor says, because if it's, I'm just thinking, if it's population growth, I don't think the territory population has increased from the last census, from memory, but I could be wrong. So it's a bit hard to say 3% population growth when we've had nil growth in recent years, but I think we'd be right with an aspirational growth.
Thanks, Councillor Scott. Mr. Sione, I think on that point.
I think probably population growth is a reasonable measure. Obviously, there's a couple of factors. One is from a rating point of view, you generally talk about the number of new properties. But then it's more to a budget than just rating. So it's about provision of services and infrastructure, all those sorts of things. So I think overall, it probably should be based on population, and then your residential growth in terms of properties sort of feeds from there anyway. If you people come in, you need to have those residential properties built. So I think population growth, I'm not sure it's actually specified in the long-term financial plan document. I haven't actually got it with me. But I think population growth is probably a reasonable sort of factor to put it on.
Question to you, Councillor Brown. Thanks, Mr. CEO. It's going to be aspirational. Should it marry up with the Northern Territory government's aspirational population growth, that what they want by 2030, or that capture what you're, because I mean their figures are quite aspirational, but if it puts us on par with them, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that would be correct. Obviously, if we are going to the aspirational, we're always thinking, you know, just growth in terms of figures, but what's being bandied around on in media, and that has been just what's written in our reports, basically, and there was projected growth, zero growth. So we want to be away from that. If we're going aspirational, obviously we go higher. Just a quick logical look at what's happening in our town now. I know we're facing a slump, but we're probably hoping that we ride through that and lift. But if you went on the basis of even the sort of indications from one major investor in town of the amount of growth that they're putting into the places, population growth would have to be significant to fill the positions that they are talking about, let alone the building construction side of it. So I don't think we should have any fear in projecting that, because if we don't project that, then it's going to be used against us, and we won't have the infrastructure to support the growth that is actually forward-looking, you know, unless somebody changes their plan. But at the moment, there's substantial growth in fund. So we should, aspirationally, at least be in line with the territory government's aspirations.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor Batar, then the Deputy Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Brown, for raising this. I believe I raised it last year in terms of the nursing quarters and also what was happening out at Kilgareth and into why we had zero potential for increasing of rateable properties. And it would be useful to have a brief look at how many new rateable properties have come out of the last 5 years or so. Like just pick a figure and maybe use, if we could use that going forward, or at least that come to us so that we've got some kind of idea that we actually have had. Because if you look through Gillen, there's so many extra properties at the back of, there's been houses built at the back of each house and infill development all through there over the last 10 years. Yet we say we have not grown at all with no extra rateable properties. So it would be really useful to have that, have a report like that come to us and to use those then projected figures as well in the long-term financial plan going forward.
Thanks, Councillor Pitar. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. So perhaps the way forward is to work from a five-year plan rather than a 10-year plan, and that automatically doubles your aspirational percentage to about 7%. And say it over 5 years. The other confidence that I gain is from the fact that our sewage system, our pipes and the actual system that's in existence in Alice Springs can support an extra 10,000 residents without having to require much infrastructure change. So this was told to us some years ago by the power and water people at a tour of the site. So knowing that we can actually cope with another 10,000 residential occupants who are going to utilize that system is good. And the other thing about it is when it comes to policy making, as well as what Councillor Brown's raised, it also affects the type of policy that once upon time was sort of mooted at being able to divide your large blocks. Not necessarily in rural, but also an urban area where you can actually build a second dwelling on your own, 800 or 1,000 square meter block. There was at one point, I think back in 2013, when the CLP won government at the time, they were talking about being able to build a second dwelling, livable, a residential dwelling on your single-zoned properties. So that would have been a good thing because that obviously helps given the fact that we're not really rich in land release at this point in time, unlike top end. So, I think it's a great point to have raised, Councillor Brown, and if people are happy, I would support an aspiration figure of about 6.9%.
Thank you. Councillor Brown, have you got a figure that we can put to a straw poll? Is the person who's raised this?
No, I'm happy to go with Deputy Mayor's figure there. I didn't have any particular figure in mind. I just had the concept in mind.
Sure. So your figure was 6.9%, Deputy Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, that stays away from the 7-point something or other that we're going to introduce as a rate rise. So that keeps you clean on the ABC interview.
Yep. So 6.9%. Residential growth over 5 years, is that right?
And how does that, does anyone actually know that figure that the Territory Government has?
I'm trying to find it, but I can't find the figure at the moment.
Michael. Yeah, they're 1.4.
So what does 6.9% look like over 5 years, Deputy Mayor? What's that?
2,000 per annum residential population growth.
Thank you. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, I just think we need to be a little bit careful if we use a figure I think that's a little bit high. And I just wonder about some people might not be happy with that if they think there's an extra 2,000 people coming in per year. So I just wanted to sort of caution us a little bit about whatever figure we use, because there's pros and cons with everything. I mean, housing's already a significant issue. If you know, we start talking about an extra 2,000 people coming in, where are they going to live to start with? It just puts more pressure on housing. I do agree that we should have a figure, a growth figure in there, but I'd probably want to be a little bit conservative in my mind rather than going higher.
So 3.5% is 900 people, right? 3.5. So I think, is that more palatable, Councillor Coffey? Yep. Councillor Batar?
So at Kilgareth, there was only 52 lots released last August and then 36 this year. So it's not that many extra rateable properties, but there is some just from that development, as well as then the infill development in town. Plus, we still haven't got the nurses' quarters online yet. So. And then that other project next to our house on Stevens Road. Those units aren't on the market yet either. So there's a number coming in. That would be maybe 200 extra properties.
Yep.
So it's something.
Thank you. Councillor Morris.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm just probably following on from Councillor Coffey's comments. It feels like it's kind of plucking numbers out of the air at the minute. And whether it's 6.9 or 1.4, or we seem to be jumping around all over the place. And is there a reason why we can't just take the time to get some scientific data around what actually is happening, has happened, and likely to happen in Central Australia and Alice Springs community?
The reason would be we don't have, the reason is because we're about to endorse the budget. So you've either got to put it in there or take it out.
I wouldn't be comfortable putting 1.4, 6.95. There's no rationale behind it. It's just anecdotal.
I think the piece is, I understand you. I completely understand your point. The other point is that we want to be able to say that we want residential growth and population growth in our region. So whatever that is, it is, you know, just a figure that we're saying, hey, we want 500 people here this next financial year or 1,000. Completely understand your point. But again, it is overreaching. Like, we want to put it in there to capture them.
So, Mayor, I agree with that, Councillor Morris. I mean, I think we need to, rather than just throwing figures around, actually have some science behind the figure. What I'd probably suggest is actually just take reference out of the draft. It gives us a few weeks to actually sort it out. When it comes back after public consultation on the, I think it's the 20th or whatever that date is, sort of a council forum, then we have a number, we put it in. So you've got a growth figure in your adopted budget. What I'd suggest is we take any reference to growth out of these documents and then we actually put it back in after the consultation is adopted. That just gives us time to actually have some science behind what the number should be.
Thank you. Councillor Brown, have you, sorry, I can't see. No, all good. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, look, when we were presented with got to do it now, then we've come up with a aspirational. And so there's no science required for aspirational. I think it's reasonable to say that over the last 15 years of having the discussion, I have a sound understanding of what is practical as a realistic population growth. For every property, you'd imagine a percentage, an average of three persons living in that property. And on that basis, it's probably realistic to say we would like to see at least 70 to 100 new properties, whether they were infills, whether they were new, whether they were coming off the a different sort of, whether they were sold by government housing, former government housing and became public housing, but rather that part of the mainstream housing. So however you increase it, whether you build units, whatever you count as a dwelling, I think it's not unreasonable to come back, and I think the science might let us down, to be honest. But the fact of the matter is, the point's been raised. It's a very valid point, and it's more about sending out a message than actually qualifying and having a hard factual, spending a lot of time and council resources on just saying aspirational. I would love to see 10,000 people in our town over the next 10 years. I've said that in multiple campaigns. And the reasons why I say that is because I have done the work and I understand what's reality and what's not. At the moment, you're right. I think the percentage of vacancy on rental is just under 1%. So there's nowhere for everyone to come in. And so yes, we do need to lift our game, but the only way we can do it is through the communications that we put out, as Councillor Brown has said. So for us to get a starting point, I don't need the science to tell me. We need to have a population growth and more than 0%. And so whether we say we'd love to have however many, I take note of Councillor Coffey's point, and I agree with that. And so I think a nice conservative number and a realistic number based on nothing more than just an aspirational figure and a hope, we should have between 700 to 800 people coming into town comfortably living and making Alice Springs a home. That's about, you know, 90 or so homes. They're not all new, right? They're not all new. So there's the reality. And what would be interesting to know is how many vacant properties that currently sit under government management in the community housing or that are not full. There's no one there, you know, and there's all that conversation that's going on, over 200 or whatever it is, the figure was last raised. So look, aspiration was the key word. We can get caught and lost in the detail, but I think the word was aspirational.
Sure. Thank you. I found the figure. It was 20%. Northern Territory government want to go from 250 to 300. So, Councillor Coffey, to close this one out, and then we'll get into
the budget. just another point about having an aspirational growth in there. I think it's really important. Because the Australian government are increasing significantly the overseas migration over the next few years. And so if we have an aspirational growth target in there, it sends a message that we'd be supportive of some of those migrants coming here.
Thank you. Agree. So close this one out, Mr. CEO. We'll remove it from the draft and bring it back and have a discussion pre final approval, is that right?
The wish of the council.
Councillor Brown.
So we will have a figure that is released with the final draft. Is that, that's not the important thing?
Not with the final draft, with the final budget.
So, with the final budget, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Deputy Mayor.
No, I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. If we're going to go out to public consultation, I'd rather be transparent and say this is our aspirational figures and we've got a whole month to work out whether we reduce it, increase it, or change it around. Then we can have feedback because it's there. Right now, there's nothing or zero. And I think we need to be in public consultation zone. Let's public consult.
And they'll go back to Councillor Morris's point that we're making it on the run. And it's Councillor Morris.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Morris does make a point, and whether it's aspirational or not, if you're plucking out 700 people a year, between around 26,000 in Alice Springs at the minute, Mr. Mayor, is that about right?
Yes,
sir. So over 3 years, we'll have 2,100 people additional into Alice Springs. That's a 10%, just under 10% population growth is an aspirational figure. Is that what we're happy with? My point is, very happy to have an aspirational figure. Absolutely, it shouldn't be 0%, but let's take a little bit of time to make sure that the aspirational figure is one that we're actually happy with. 10% over 3 years seems a lot. Happy to be guided by others, but aspiration or not, that's a really important document and 100% right. I agree with Councillor Brown. It signals in a way to the outside community around where we are and where we're heading. And if the aspiration is 10% population growth over 3 years, then that seems unrealistic. And we just need that aspirational figure, whatever it is. I'm happy for it to be aspirational. That's where we'll go for a goal in the future that we don't really know how realistic it is or not. But let's make sure that it's somewhere within range of having an aspirational figure, which people actually have some sort of belief in.
Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Yeah, sorry, I don't want this conversation to go on and on forever. I agree with Councillor Morris's point to a degree, but when this is going out of public consultation and for discussion, then it would probably be best if it had an aspirational figure. Everybody understands an aspirational figure is something you put up there. It's usually exaggerated on where you're likely to go because it's aspirational and you're attempting to reach that point. In our case, that's actually probably not too far a stretch, given the sheer quantity of stuff that's proposed. Now, we all know that may fall over, but at the moment, as it sits in situation, if we were to fill the jobs that are required to undertake the sorts of investment that are proposed in this place over the next few years, we will need the sort of figures that we're talking about to fill those jobs. And I can tell you, as you all know anyway, the workplace, we are way understaffed. We do not have anywhere near the number of people in this town at the moment to fill the jobs that are available right now, and we don't have the accommodation. So it must be clear to everybody, excuse me, but we need that aspirational growth. We need it in reality, otherwise we are not going to be able to fulfil the growth plans for this town that are existing right at this moment.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. So 3.5% is 900 people per year. So are we happy with 3.5% as a figure to put in there? And what we'll do is we'll put that figure in, we'll have the discussion, that'll be consulted on. There may be things that change in the document. We've got 21 days to change it. Is there any dissent with 3.5%? Mr. CEO?
Just to be clear, so the point one under key assumptions would be aspirational residential growth of 3.5% per annum. Are you happy with those words? Or just want to take the word aspirational out? You want the word aspirational in?
Take the word aspirational out.
So we just changed the 0 to 3.5%.
Deputy Mayor?
Just being clear, residential, please define residential as opposed to population growth.
Well, you could argue that residential is population growth. You could change it to population growth, just to be very clear. That's the intent. Population growth at 3.5% per annum.
Yep. Any further discussion regarding the budget? So we'll make that change. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, I've just got a few questions on the draft municipal plan. Are we doing that now?
We are.
Yep. So on that same page, page 54 of Diligent.
So you know, Councillor Coffey, there has been... a new version of the municipal plan uploaded to Diligent with the changes that were discussed previously.
Okay. Well, hopefully I don't double up, but I just wanted to raise a few others that I don't think were raised previously. But so on page 54, the third point from the bottom, we talk about general increase in labour costs of 3% enterprise agreement per annum, subject to 7 above. I'm not sure what that 7 is.
Mr. CEO.
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, it looks like they used to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera, and someone's just changed them to the little arrows. So that's a very good pickup. It is actually the dot point immediately above, which talks about some efficiencies in labour. So we're still going to achieve the efficiencies in labour, but the existing resources will be subject to a 3% enterprise agreement increase and plus 1% to meet the market. So we'll need to fix that. And it refers to the one straight above it.
Yeah. Maybe we just take out subject 7 above. But I'll leave that with you. Page 48. or 24 of the strategic of the municipal plan. We talk about where your money's to be spent, just to tidy things up. So that those amounts for indicative spend for every 100 doesn't add up to 100. It's like 1 cent over, but I just think we should tidy it up. It's no doubt a rounding issue.
Thank you. Yep.
That's
how good we are. You get more than what you pay for it, Councillor.
1 cent for every 100.
Yeah.
That's all. Thank you.
I have one very small one as well, Mr. CEO. We talk about all the plans that we've got, and it makes mention of, it's on page 6 of the document, our 2030 plan, climate, environment policy, public art master plan. One thing that's missing is the Aquatic and Leisure Centre master plan, which is driving our playground, that's about the adventure park that's going in there, which was a part of that. So I just think that's probably something you apologise on, pick up on earlier. Any other comments regarding the municipal plan? No. Can I have someone move the municipal plan? Moved, Councillor Morrow, seconded, Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Move, Councillor Morris. Second, Councillor Brown. Hugh, wish me luck tomorrow morning. The risk management minutes, Councillor Batar. Second, Councillor Coffey. Any discussion regarding the minutes? No. All those in favour to adopt the minutes? Any against? Carried. There's the recommendations. On the next item, 9.2.3, can I have someone who is present move the recommendations? Moved, Councillor Batar. Second, Councillor Coffey. Any discussion of those recommendations? All those in favour? Any against? Carried. 9.3.1, we'll take the application as read. The CMS FATE held on June 15. They're asking for $2,000. Any questions? Have someone move? Councillor Batar, second to Councillor Morris. Any discussion? All those in favour? Any against? Carried. The next one is $5,000 for the No One Left Behind Women's Conference. Director Battle, happy for you to take this on notice, but I think whilst we're talking about the sponsorship grants policy that we spent some time on, I wonder if there is a discussion in there that groups or bodies can only receive, you know, a couple of applications or a certain cap on funds, because we see constantly the same people applying. And I don't know if it's in line with, you know, we can receive a cap and after 3 years they get, you know, we weed them off. But I just wonder if that's something that has been talked about in the presenting of the document, because we do see constantly the same organisations come to council for money and then other organisations miss out altogether. So has that been flagged or?
Yeah, through you. That's sort of what is being proposed, that people can get the maximum year one, then it drops down in year two, then it drops down in year three, and then they're in theory done.
What about, because I mean, I just use this organisation as an example, nothing against the organisation, but different buckets. So this would be 10,000 for this organisation, whereas the way it's put is year one for this event, but not as a collective. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So more organised. I guess the only, and yes, happy to take on those, but the trade-off would be because we do want people to come up with new events, so make an event sustainable, and then while still potentially thinking what else, but maybe it's just in how it's assessed and weighted.
Sure. Thank you. Deputy Mayor.
I see a couple of risks with that.
I don't need to talk about that now. I was just airing my dirty laundry on that point, but there'll be other times where we can speak about that going forward.
Okay, can you give me an indication when I can do that, please? Because that's an important point I'd like to discuss.
Well, when we do the grants policy, when it comes back to forum. It was just a question to the director.
Okay, thank you.
Vic, just in regards to 9.3.3, anything on that point, Deputy Mayor? Councillor Coffey?
Yeah, so just on page 3 of the application, it's a bit unclear to me. They've asked for $5,000 from Territory families. So is that in addition to our money, or is that in case they don't get our money? And do we know the status of that application?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that would be in addition. And no, I don't think they've had an outcome yet. Not that I'm aware of anyway.
Yeah, okay. So I would like to understand what that additional money is used for. I mean, their budget just says $5,000 sponsorship, and yet they've asked for $5,000 from us and $5,000 from Territory families. So I think a bit more information would be useful, because it seems like, well, looking at this, the only cost is that speaker.
Director, anything further to add?
No, I can only go what's on front of me as well. But from previous conferences, they certainly are quite extensive in terms of their offering. So I imagine there are actually more costs that potentially haven't been articulated very well in the application.
Anything further at that point? I mean, there is time, Councillor Coffey, to defer this, go back and clarify some information. It is on the 1st of September, so that will give us some time for the office to go back and speak to the applicant and just clarify that, because it's a good point you raise.
I think that would be my preference, get more information and come back to Council.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? People happy to defer it to go back to the organiser? Getting some head nods. Can I ask for a motion to defer the application? Moved, Councillor Coffey. Seconded, Councillor Brown. Any further discussion? No, all those in favour to defer? Thank you. Council approved the installation of CrimSafe on external windows of the Civic Centre, covering chambers north-facing windows, with windows and laneway windows of the function room and a runter room, with the installation of CrimSafe on external windows. That might need it. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to this recommendation, I will be supporting it. I just wondered if I can ask a question through you to the CEO, Mr. Mayor, wondering what, if there were any efforts to attempt to forward this information to and gain some advantage with the insurance companies. Do we have we done the research prior to that, or can we do that thereafter?
Mr. CEO.
Mayor, I've had a meeting with the insurance companies. So I'm just waiting for a quote back. So once the quote comes back, we can raise this matter, and then it makes a difference. I'm happy that they will notice and pursue that matter if this goes through, and see if we can get a cheap insurance quote. I'm waiting for those quotes to come back. I've had my meeting.
Good question, Deputy Mayor. Supplementary.
I'm just wondering if we can get a full understanding of how we can reduce our insurance as advised by insurance companies. So if we were to do this, that, and the other, obviously investment on our behalf, such as CrimSafe, will that effectively reduce our insurance, or does it leave it the same? Or, you know, it makes a difference for my thinking. We're moving forward, we're spending all this money, yet We're still having to forcibly pay insurances, which by the way, is from our experience, is not coming back down. It's multiplying by three and fourfold.
I'll see.
Mr. Mayor, so the one of the issues is the premium's $10,000, but despite before I arrived, I understand there were multiple sort of incidents here with smash windows, and we've had one claim. Which was $7,500, so I'm not sure. It's obviously less than $10,000. So that's the issue that, you know, and my understanding is that's generally the market sort of excess for this sort of thing. So most of the claims or the incidents that are under our excess, so we're effectively self-insuring these particular incidents, and we're still actually paying insurance. So that's one of the issues that I raised with the insurer as well. You know, it's a great deal for the company. We're paying these sort of premiums, whatever they are, and effectively not claiming it. So it's bad for us, good for them. So I'm having those discussions with them, in terms of what differences we can make. We've got, this is the third and last year we've got with the brokers. I think then we need to actually have a serious discussion in terms of what other options are available. I know we've got the JLT option. I think there's some history on that. I'm not involved in it. But we then need to look at, we need to get the right deal for this. But then moving forward, we need to look at how we actually move forward in terms of whether we continue to go out to tender for new brokerage or we go with JLT. So, we'll just get whatever the best deal we can in that last year of the program.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. I know it's a difficult one and I appreciate all the hard work that you're doing on that front. Can we simply, and you may have already discussed this with them, can we remove the cover for, in fact, windows in specific areas? So we are, in fact, as we are now self-insuring, we don't need to cover those windows because, A, it's not feasible to, and the history shows we haven't claimed, and we should really look into the $7,500 claim versus $10,000 premium. That's just a given. But I'm just wondering if we just remove that from the policy altogether as a cover.
So, just to me, that's certainly some of the options I'm looking at. When they come back with the quotes, we'll have a look at that, and I'll talk to them in advance of them back as well. We've got some documentation we need to give.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the crimp safe? Just might need to clean up the motion before I put it. Council approved the installation. It's been a change, Council Coffey. Council approved the installation of crimp safe on external windows of the Civic Centre, covering north-facing chamber windows and laneway windows. Can I have a mover? Mover, Deputy Mayor, Seconder, Council Little. Any further discussion? All those in favour? Any against? Carried. 9.4.1, shade. Structure, I tell you, this shade does not want to go up, does it, Director? So the recommendation that it's at Finlayson Park, Gillen. I question, Director, I imagine this is pieced together with the draft parks plan. Yes, thought I would ask. Any discussion about recommendation? Can I have a mover? Mover, Councillor Tass. Seconder. Councillor Brown, all those in favour? Any against? Carried. 9.4.5, the Gap Youth Centre. Recommendation that Council approve the disposal of lot 9302, located at 93 Gap Road, Alice Springs, to the Gap Youth and Community Centre for the value of $1.
Yes, Mayor, we've made a couple of changes to the recommendation. I just explain it. So we're just confirming that obviously council has got the authority to make this transaction, and we've confirmed that we do, although there's reference in the Act to subject to ministers' guidelines, and we can't actually find those guidelines. So we thought with the advice of the lawyers involved in this, we just put subject to any adverse advice from the NT government. And then two, just to confirm that they're actually paying the stamp duty and registration fees, and that is would be they'd have to pay that.
Yeah. Thank you. Any discussion in regards to those, Deputy Mayor?
Thank you. Thank you for that update, Mr. CEO. The value of $725,000 is what we're gifting this organisation. And I understand the previous discussion that we've had that everyone was at the time in favour of doing this. It just doesn't sit comfortable with me. What do we get in return in terms of giving away a $725,000 piece of real estate away for $1, other than the social and the relief of, we're no longer going to maintain or spend money on this thing. There's a dollar value in that. And the fact that the recommendation didn't have any terms around the stamp duty was one of the things that I was going to raise. So we should have included a term that they do pay stamp duty in the resolution. So I just sit a little bit uneasy with it. Although I'm highly likely to support it with the terms that were recommended, I just want to discuss that.
I'll go to the director.
Obviously, previous papers have got the council spoken about the condition assessment was done, and there was, I guess, an estimated cost at that time of over $500,000 worth of remedial or of repairs needed to that building. So that sit with the landlord being ours. So the building as it sits is in really poor condition. So we're probably obligated to do that work if we hold on to it. Obviously, the plans, the master plan that GAPU said it has, is to demolish that site and rebuild it, subject to federal funding. So the part of that issue is their buildings across two lots. Being across two lots is very hard to do development. You're aware, because if you go to the development authority, they're going to say you're on two separate titles, and crossing those two separate titles and two separate owners is very, very difficult. So there's a multitude of issues at play for both Gap Youth and for us in the ownership of the building. Obviously, we budget about $30,000 per annum in repair costs of that building, and we receive a dollar rent. So, there's a cost to council on an ongoing basis, and that's probably not going to go away unless we decide to push them to market rents post that. I'm not sure of their financial situation as far as being able to pay financial rents, but obviously, that's something that we have to consider.
Deputy Mayor, it's a good point. I agree. What does it look like? But I think big picture, it says 725. That's what we're going to pay probably in the next 5 or 6 years if it's not upgraded by the Fed. So I think it's an investment, but it also is providing them an opportunity to build a better facility, which is also important. And just echoing the director's point, I just don't think what they're going to be able to do with the current lay of the land as it is. So, I understand the sensitivities around it. However, I'll go to Councillor Coffey and then I'll come back to Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, so I think this is a bit of a unique situation given that Gap Youth Centre is on those two lots and we own one of them. So whilst the valuation's there for $725,000, in reality, would we ever sell it? Probably not. I think that it causes, there'd be a lot of sensitivities with that and would probably bring some criticism. I think at the moment it's more a liability than an asset, to be honest, in terms of the maintenance and an upgrade. And the Commonwealth do have that funding committed to them. So I think timing-wise, it's probably a good opportunity for us to divest it. And in my mind as well, I think, if we were thinking about our property holdings. You know, there's still the Alice Springs Youth and Community Centre, which may, well, I think will come to us in a future meeting about whether we take that on as well. And so if I had to choose, you know, would we keep Gap Youth Centre or would we take on the Alice Springs Youth and Community Centre? I think we'd be better off taking on the Youth and Community Centre if that's what we decide. The other point, so I do support the motion, and I think there's a good narrative that you could put around it and a justification for basically gifting it, as long as it doesn't cost us anything. So the Gap Youth Centre does pay for all of the expenses with the sale or the purchase for them. The other point I just wanted to make was this report from Terry Weeks is not very good in my view. It's there's a lot of outdated information in there and I think it's a bit poor. It's still referencing COVID-19 and that market conditions are changing daily because of COVID-19. It talks about our budget, which is well out of date. So I just think we should consider whether we go back to Terry Weeks for this sort of work in the future. I just think it's a pretty poor report.
I want to read the report, Councillor Coffey. $112 a room. Casino, I think it said, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like, clearly they've just used information that they've had in their reports from years gone by and haven't updated it, which I think is pretty poor, given we're paying for it.
And our budget of $17 million. When the last time our budget was $17 million? Anyway. Deputy Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Coughlin. Deputy Mayor.
So I agree in the absence of a better financial plan for the premises, we stand to acknowledge that it is a financial drain, it is a liability, albeit still an asset, but it's a financial liability. And so in the absence of a better financial plan, and that's what we're faced with, the way to improve that is to have a better financial understanding and plan around that structure. My real concern is not whether we would sell it or not. And I agree with Councillor Coffey, it would be highly unlikely that we could sell it for all the reasons that were mentioned. But what this does is it actually doubles up and creates one lot for another organisation who has already been identified as heavily dependent on federal government and territory government funding and other sources of funding. So they're not a profitable organisation without the funding, they would suffer. So this becomes quite an attraction. It's a great big block of land in CBD Alice Springs, and we're gifting it back to an organisation or Department of Government or whatever it is that one day in the future may choose to relocate. It may choose to have funding elsewhere, which is, we need to have a caveat that says, you know, you can't just turn around and sell it and build units on there and make profit out of it. Because we lose control of that piece of dirt once we give it away for a dollar. That's probably my real concern. In the title search, it doesn't really clarify what zone it is, but there's no reason for them to rezone it to multi-dwelling, commercial use, whatever it is that makes a dollar. That land is still real land owned by a real entity who could make a decision to make it very profitable. And a clever financial planner or financial officer can come into the organization and say, hey, let's relocate over here. We'll get a couple of dollars over here from this and we'll just fund it by selling this thing and away we go. I mean, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. But is that what we want to happen? I don't know. Up to you.
Thank you. Councillor Brown.
No, I think we might be losing sight of the social consequences, if you will. The Gap Youth Centre is an important part of our youth infrastructure at the time when we're really struggling with youth issues. Handing this over is to facilitate the development of and spending over $16 million for a new youth centre in the area. I think that should be our priority and that we should be concentrating on. As far as I'm concerned, Council should be and could be putting a lot more towards youth centre for these kids. So I don't think arguing over this basically, which is a valueless block that we've never done anything for in its existence, and certainly wouldn't gain anything from. It's a liability. It's only paperwork asset. It's actually a liability. And it's a liability to that organisation, which are busily trying to do something for the youth of our town. The Commonwealth is not going to allow the investment of $16 million into it and then allow someone to sell it or divide it into units. So I think that we should shift ourselves out of any involvement in that spot, because in doing so, we are facilitating this development, which we want for our community.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Any further discussion? No. On that, would you like to move it, Councillor Brown? Move to Councillor Brown. Do a seconder. Councillor Vitar, I'll go back this way. Sorry, Councillor Morris. No further discussion. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you. Questions without notice? Deputy Mayor, do you have a question? I've got you for general business. But...
Thank you. I have a couple of questions, please.
Sure.
This morning on ABC Radio, we heard about Jane Road. I just wonder if we can receive a bit of an update in confidential around Jane Road rather than the open, so I can better understand what the situation is. I know the history going back to 12, 13 years ago, we were talked about this, and I think Councillor Brown's also across it. So I would like to know the reasons why this isn't happening or hasn't happened or whatever, please.
Director Andrew?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. You probably know more of the history than I do, you know, as far as it goes back. I mean, kind of the first I'd ever really heard of Jane Road was, you know, when it came to light that the contractor had accidentally put flyers in the letterbox of Jane Road based on, if you remember, we originally went to market for reseal and we were over budget, so we had to reduce our scope. And this, the end of Jane Road, which is sealed, was in the original scope and was removed in the revised scope. Wrongly, the contractor went out and put flyers in Jane Road, which is obviously... spark this whole thing off. The previous, look, I'm not aware, and based on officers, the information provided me, the information from the residents is that it was budgeted for in 2019. We don't have no record of that being budgeted to be sealed in 2019 that they can provide me. And so obviously it's been an ongoing issue. Why we haven't dealt with it, I don't know. It's a relatively small section, 200 metres of road that probably should be budgeted to be sealed in the coming years, and that's what we're looking at. The estimate, which is a few years old, was $350,000 to kind of prep that road and seal it. It's probably gone up. So at this stage, we're gonna look and see if we can get some pricing the next financial year to seal that small portion of the road and put this to bed. We're not talking about the whole of Jane Road. Jane Road obviously runs right through, on paper at least, it's right through Bullen Road. We're just talking about a small section of Jane Road. The entirety of Jane Road is about 2 kilometres, and that, you know, is kind of just a paper road for all intents and purposes. It's designated a road, but it's not used, it's not really open to public access, and I don't think the residents are, as far as I'm aware, interested in it being made public and being sealed. So we're just talking about that small section.
Thanks, Director. Deputy Manny, does that answer your question?
What I understand now is that there is a history on this that hasn't been provided to the director. What I'd like to confirm is, was there a decision, a formal decision of council to reseal it? And if so, was there a budget allocation? My recollection is that there was a budget allocation. There was a debate around it a long time ago in the development, so the development committee, now no longer. I think we call it the development committee.
Exceptional development
committee. So there was a long discussion, and there'd be information in those minutes, if you go back some years, probably in the 12th council. But I think the fact is that we've once again been caught a little bit, and yes, I appreciate the reasons why, and that's what happens, and that's one of the risks that can happen when you've obviously got a dynamic and changing council at times, but the history is the same. So is Jane Road funded? I thought there was about $120,000 allocated to it at one time. So they're my recollections. And I tried desperately to find the paperwork, but it's in hard copy archives in my small office at home. So there's weeks of reading material, thousands of days of reading material there. So I'll try to find it. But that's my recollection to assist you, Mr. Director.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. In regards to this road reseal piece, Jane Road wasn't on there of the endorsed document from Council for this financial year.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I appreciate that's a fact, but I'm talking about archival historical.
Okay, thank you.
Anything for the Director?
Thank you.
What might help, Mr. Director, is it the previous mayor was really across this and may have the details. So if you reached out to him, he may be of assistance, or the previous CEO before Robert. So they were right across it. So they may be helpful. And there was also a technical service director called Scott Allen. He was also across it. So those people they've got some history in that. And if you felt comfortable enough to, well, if you felt the opportunity, that's there, just as a recommendation only. I have a second question when you're ready, Mr.
I mean, those funds are no longer budgeted for. So, I mean, the history is important, I think, you know, to clarify, but it's probably more important. I mean, if it wasn't done, it wasn't done, and obviously it hasn't been done. So it's more important now to go, okay, where can we budget, let's say, between 350 and 500 based on the estimates, to get it done in the future if that's a priority of the council. So I think that's more where the energy is being put, is to probably right that wrong in the past if there's a wrong, and but also just get it done. You know.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor, further point? And then
No, I was ready for a second question, but sorry, that just raised and I haven't paid specific attention to this budget, but are we saying that in the next financial year, the one that we've just approved, there is no allocation for Jane Road, is that right? I didn't look into that far.
Well, there'll be $650,000 expected for roads to recovery, and that'll be in line with the works plan that's been all designed by especially.
Yes, so through the mayor. So we have a road resale program that does include the sealing of Jane Road.
Does not.
Like that's currently not proposed work. So I think our resale road is about resealing existing sealed roads. This is almost a new project, so we need to basically, you know, look at it the same, because it's not just a resealing. We've got to go and actually prep the road, put road base down and seal it. But there's a bit more to it than just killing the resealing contract to put bitumen on it. So
Mr. Mayor, what that tells me is we've got some mixed messaging going on, because this morning I heard that it was this financial year it's about to expire. And so no mention of the next financial year, which was the commentary hope. So if we're not going to do it this financial year, or we haven't budgeted for the next financial year, that's going to spell quite a bit of angst, I think, create a bit of angst amongst that community. So we're looking at it 2 years before we even get there again. And that doesn't sit well with me either, basically, because this is a resolution that in my mind was already passed.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I think the question has been asked, and I think that there'll be some research done and brought back to us for endorsement of it at a later stage, Deputy Mayor. But clearly we're not going to do it this financial year. It's 23rd of May. But I think it'll come back to us, and we need to approve the transfer of funds or allocate money to the project, then we'll do that. No? Anything further on that Jane Road point? No?
I have one. I mean, there's a media statement put out on Friday that clearly says there's no rescheduling of Jane Road budgeted in this financial year. So I think that's quite clear in the media statement. So if someone's saying that, you know, it's going to happen this financial year, I think they, and yeah, that was pretty clear in that media statement.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Through you, Mr. Mayor, you may wish to revisit the conversations you had with the member for Namajira, who was on radio this morning making commentary, which I felt was probably, some of it was probably not necessary, but he was mentioning the communications with you, and he seemed to go back to the interview and listen to it. I think you'll probably get a great deal of information about that, because he seemed to have dropped you in it.
I mean, I was quite clear with him that you know, we're looking into it and a formal media statement came out. So, and that, you know, did nothing. I was saying, you know, would contradict that. There'll be a formal position. So he's contradicted that. I'll object to him.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor, further point.
Next question is just in relation to the Estetford. I just wondered if I was at the Estetford yesterday, and what was interesting was the announcer was asking for donations, and the information provided as to the reason was because there was an organisation that dropped their funding from 7,000 to 2,000. It made it sound like it was an organisation, not council, but they did thank council, they did thank the government for the $12,500 investment. The decision around the Estetford was made a long time ago as a standing motion that I understand that I was a part of, that they don't need to apply. There was a $7,500 amount, I think it was, standing constantly. So I don't know what changed. I don't recall being discussing a reduction unless I've missed it, and I'm sorry if I have. But is it a fact, Mr. Mayor, that we no longer support the Estetford to the tune of seven and a bit thousand, but 2,000? Is that right?
I don't know. Deputy Mayor, does Director of Community Service, do you have anything? Can take that on notice?
I'm happy to take that on notice, but there was in the community grants that was approved, must have been not last month, the month before, the amount was $2,000 that was approved.
Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I believe there is a motion that is standing that they do not need to apply. I'm not sure if that's got lost in the changeover of things, but you know, these are important events for the town, so I don't need to go on too much about that. But if that's what's happened, I would have loved to be part of the decision process. If we were only presented with two and we approved two, that's great. But the history of it was that there was 7,000 that didn't require a grant application. Whether that 2,000 was something completely separate, I don't know if we're talking about the same funding application or process, but that 7,000 is a separate resolution that was always there to support things like the Estetford. If they've made a second application or a separate application for $2,000 further, then okay, that stands alone. I don't know about that. So yes, I'd look forward to some more information about that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. No further questions? No. Councillor Buttar.
So a while ago, we talked in a forum about new structures for the reports, and I was told that the May's meeting would have all the new report structures, but it doesn't. So I was just wondering when that's coming in.
It's the mayor, it's CEO. It's next month. We just didn't have the resources to do it this month. So I'm committed to doing it next month's of June meeting.
Any further questions?
Confidential general business, Deputy Mayor, AFL.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Can you just give me a time check, please? Things are coming up here in morning tea, so I'm just... Yeah, okay. All right. Be as quick as I can then. AFL&T, we've just gone through the situation we all understand very well. Of that, I think there's a need to follow on and have a debrief. So I probably would suggest that the best environment for us to have a discussion to make sure that we future plan the next steps around this issue, that we don't fall into the same concerns that we did fall into, whether we intentionally or unintentionally. But I think the issue is still very much live. And I would request elected members support my request to regroup and have this discussion perhaps in a forum. And then from there, we can come away with some actions. At this stage, I don't have any actions to recommend at this point in time, other than let's debrief about this and understand the full story from where to go. And we engage lawyers at expense. And so we would have quite a bit of information there that we could, you know, review. So I'd appreciate if we could have that opportunity, and I'd appreciate if the elected members would support that request.
So you're requesting that AFL NT be discussed at a future forum? Sure. Can you please
Can you please word something up there for the mayor for a motion? Because we just want it formally ratified if we're going to request.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for the invitation to present you a formal resolution. I wish to request that elected members, that council convene a forum for elected members only to debrief and discuss the AFLNT's recent resolution and subsequent compromise and subsequent and actions.
So
to better future. Sorry, I'm just talking. Sorry. Yeah, you got me on the spot. So to enable us to future plan, to enable us to future plan better. Any other matters that are around the AFLNT. So no point talking to the detail. Just simply let's get into a forum. Let's talk about AFLNT. That's really what I'm trying to say.
Sure. And you don't want CEO or directors at that meeting?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a given. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
So yes, of course, we would want them to be there. I apologise. I just meant
that's that. Okay. I'm just making sure the council convene a forum.
No, when I say forum, that's a formal arrangement, and I expect that the officers would be present because that's what a forum is.
Need that last couple of words from that. Council convene a forum to debrief and discuss the AFL NT resolution. Can I get that, Deputy Mayor? Can we just clean up that last piece before I put the motion? Do future plan any other
actions or reactions around this issue? Around this issue or this matter or?
Yeah, this matter. That's right. This matter.
Thank you so much.
It's been a point. Yeah, I'm just going to get it. Some words changed, Deputy Mayor. Doesn't make sense. Come to you in a second, Councillor Morris. I'll just get this started up. Sure. The council convene a forum to debrief and discuss the current position in relation to AFLNT to enable the council to develop a strategy moving forward which considers all relevant issues. Move, Deputy Mayor. Is there any discussion? Can I have a seconder? Councillor Little. No further debate. Councillor Coffey, can you see that? You can't, can you?
No.
The motion is that council convene a forum to debrief and discuss the current position in relation to AFL-NT to enable council to develop a plan moving forward which considers all relevant issues. So it's just to take it to a forum. Moved, Deputy Mayor, seconded, Councillor Little. All those in favour? Any against? You against? Thank you. Carried. Moving confidential information into the open. So obviously, one will be the draft budget, which will be embargoed to 7:30 a.m. 24th of May. The endorsed freedom of entry will come out of confidential. Mr. CEO, do we need to take out the Civic Centre ClimSafe resolution? Yep. Civic Centre. The shade will need to come out. Do we leave the gap in confidential whilst we're sourcing advice? Or
is it basically done? And
can we please go through them?
Yes, I apologize. I think we want to draft the media statement that may be around it. So maybe keeping it confidential, we'll draft the media statement and then we can put it out. So it's kind of here while we're doing this, then we'll take it out.
Okay. So we're going to embargo that until the media statement. Otherwise, we'll have to pull it out. So that can be embargoed to the media statement. The CMS, the school application through TEPC will be out. Anything further that needs to come out of confidential? Nope. Can I have someone move that those items come out of confidential? Move Councillor Morris, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour to remove those from confidential? Thank you. There being no other business, I ask for a motion to adjourn the confidential meeting. Move Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Little. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. I'll see you back at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Councillor Coffey will start the new meeting for you.
Thank you. See ya.
I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.